This final Sunday of Advent has us hearing in the Old Testament lesson about a prophet who was at that time yet to come. This prophet had been promised by God to Moses at Mount Sinai, where the giving of the law took place. This is why John the Baptizer, when he's asked by those scribes and so forth from the Pharisees, "Are you the prophet?" He says, "No. Christ Jesus is the promised prophet, testified so in the Scriptures." But of course, that's not all that Christ is, but that is one of the things that He is. And the beauty of what the next 2 days will unfold for us through God's Word is right there in that promise. At Mount Sinai, God revealed His glory. He gave them His law. And while they might accept His law, they could not accept His glory. They could not handle His glory. They pleaded for God to work in a way that they could handle. For the Lord had come to them on that mountain as a blazing fire, a gloom, a thick darkness, a tempest, the sound of a trumpet, and a great voice. And the people were terrified. They pleaded, "Do not let this happen again." They pleaded to Moses, You speak to us. We will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." So Moses would be given the words to say from the Lord, and so it would be with the prophet. That Jesus is that prophet, but of course so much more, but even the Holy Spirit preaching through Peter and the testimony of Stephen the martyr testify to Jesus being this prophet promised to the people through Moses. This one who would carry God's word and speak it. This one that we are to listen to. You see, we deceive ourselves if we ever think that we can handle God's glory in this life. We sometimes might want all those signs of God being real, but honestly, I don't think we know what we're asking. The Israelites at Sinai, they knew the glory of God. It was terrifying. They thought they would die from it because they were sinners. Such glory is not good for us sinners either. And our loving God, our gracious and our merciful God, knows this. And instead, He tells us where He can be found. Moses is told that a prophet will come from among the people of Israel. Indeed, if you look at all the genealogies of Scripture, Jesus, son of Mary, comes from the house of Judah. Judah was told that his household would bear up the Messiah, just as Jacob and Isaac and Abraham had been told. "From your brothers," it says. This blessed mystery of the incarnation is what we start celebrating tomorrow night and go on to celebrate for all 12 days of the Christmas season. That God came into the flesh, taking up our flesh into His divinity, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A prophet being raised up from amongst our brothers. Here today we hear what God had promised to Moses. And on Christmas Day we get to hear the fulfillment of what we hear today. God tells Moses and He tells the people to listen to this prophet. Just like when the Father from heaven at the transfiguration of our Lord said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." The words are from the Father, spoken and taught by the Son, and we are reminded today, even this many years later, by the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word, of these words, of these teachings, from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. Whereas Jesus said so many times, all that the Father has belongs to the Son, that the Father has given the Son all things. This is why the officials in Jerusalem were so interested in John. He spoke boldly like a prophet. They didn't know any prophets. But there was John preaching in the wilderness. He was a prophet, and yet, as Jesus says, he was more than a prophet. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah, but yet he was not Elijah. But was the one who fulfilled the promised coming of Elijah. And yet John is not the Christ. John confessed this boldly in everything he did, that he was not the Christ. The one who was coming after him was greater than he. That he must decrease so that Christ would increase. For Christ, the true prophet, had been promised to Moses, God in the flesh, the Son of God incarnate, was greater than John. And John says this today in the lesson by saying, I am not even worthy to do a slave's task. I am not even worthy to untie this man's sandals. You see, the people could not handle God in his majesty and his terror. He had to hide away further than just cloud and thick smoke and darkness and rumblings and fire and trumpets and voices. He had to hide himself away in the infant flesh of the child of Bethlehem. He hid himself away beneath the flesh of a man from Nazareth. This Jesus who was crucified. This Jesus who God the Lord raised up as Lord and Christ, as God and Savior. He had to be hidden. Not because God didn't want others to know, but that others couldn't handle it. And as God himself told the Israelites, it is right for them to say this. It is right for God to come in this hidden way. So how does God come to us now? Does God come to us in his raw majesty? No. That will be saved for the last day. In the Bible, we find out how Jesus comes in his gracious and merciful and forgiving way. He promises to be found in his word and his holy sacraments. Comb through the scriptures. And you won't find any other ways that he comes in his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. So this Monday and this Tuesday, I challenge you to be where Christ is found in divine service. That God's gifts of family and the feasting and the presence and all the celebration will still be there. But come to the primary feast of that day. Christmas Day, the day to observe in history, as we called it, the Mass of Christ, Christ Mass. Not Mass as in some scientific term, not as in some strange teaching and practice of other churches, but Mass in the sense of being the old word that used to mean divine service, a worship service, where God's Word, his preaching, the sacrament of the altar, are given and offered to those who will receive it. That the word Mass simply just means service. That you may see signs out there that rightly say, put Christ back in Christmas. And that's good. But we should never forget the second half either. Mass. For that is the worship service that is held on December 25th. The Christ Mass. The worship service appointed for the hearing of God's word and receiving the body and blood of Jesus on the occasion of his birth on December 25th. You see, this is how God hides himself from among us right now. He has come as the prophet promised to Moses, that Peter and Stephen and the author of the Hebrews confirms this, that this good news of great joy we get to hear about over the next couple of days. Days appointed for Christians to gather more intently around the ways that God hides himself and still comes today. It is still his time of gracious visitation. The forgiveness is still being freely given to all who would repent and believe in Christ. And all of this while we live in the last days. Almost 2,000 years running now, waiting for the fullness of time to come and our Lord to come back in all of that raw majesty and glory. That there will be no hiding on that great and glorious day. That no one will hide from Christ, and neither will Christ hide any of his glory. But yes, there will be much fear and trembling for the ones who do not listen to Christ or seek him where he could be found. But for you on that day is a great day of great joy. For on that day, your body will be transformed into a glorified body that is able to bear the greatness and the majesty and the awe and the terror of our God, who forever now bears our human flesh as our brother. Advent is about our Lord's coming. Listen to his word, through which he comes now. Even as we hear that same word of how he first came in human flesh to be our Savior, that the feast of our Lord's Nativity is upon us, we gather to rejoice in it and receive from it the good news of great joy of our salvation. In the name of Jesus, Amen.